B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
Hello, Dr. Walker. Okay, I wanted to have you on this podcast because when you and I spoke one time at your office at Ehrlich Animal Hospital, you were telling me this fantastic story about a fear that you have, which is kind of amusing in and of itself, given your profession, and how you relayed this in a learning moment for your daughter. And it was so cute. And I want to hear it again.
So I have a fear of birds.
Which is funny.
It is. And it's been with me since I was a small child. I don't know where it came from, but it's always been there. And when I say afraid of them, it's not like I avoid them. I mean, I'm petrified. And my daughter, who's seven now, Lorelai, she is now deathly afraid of frogs. And my sister has the same fear. Not sure where it came from, but I understand these
so it's
fears.
This family of animal lovers and loving animals probably is in your blood as well as it is, you know, your vocation. But you each have these little fears of different animals.
My daughter's seven, and since she was three, I mean, she'd jump on a horse. She's got cows. She's got she's got rabbits. She's had guinea pigs. She's had a myriad of animals, but frogs. Terrifier.
Ooh, watch out.
And I'm the same way with birds.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've tried to do is show her that, you know, you don't have to not be afraid. I mean, that's not going to go away. That fear is not going to leave. But it's what you do with that fear.
Right.
So at our office, whenever birds come in, I make a point to at least attempt to hold them. And if she's not there, I'm going to video her or FaceTime her and show her that I'm holding the bird. And she gets a huge kick out of this. And it's showing her, or at least trying to show to her, you don't have to let your fears govern what you do every day.
That first time that you worked with a bird, were you nervous, palms? I mean, what is that fear? How does it manifest in your behavior?
Yeah, for me, I can't really think very well when it's going on. I can't move very
well.
You're
in fight or flight mode.
Yeah,
or
I am. And I do. I sweat. The first bird I ever held was an African gray parrot and let him climb onto my hand. And every move he made, I couldn't read what he was doing. I just kind of stood still like a statue and kind of hoped he would. I left it in his hands, and he was luckily very nice with me. And then I finally, after about what felt like an hour, but it was probably more like 20 seconds, I said, okay, I'm good, and had my nurse take the bird off and put him back in. And I just slowly kind of built up. And he stayed with us for a couple weeks, and I just kept holding him every day, feeding him every day, still scared. But I've now treated a couple chickens on my own, and so I'm making steps.
I can relate to that because in my business, and it's funny, I wanted to do radio, I wanted to do television, but when I would go do it for the first couple of times, I mean, I remember I used to go on this one particular show, and I would only get reps when somebody was out sick. So it's not like you're getting that continuous repetition and able to build that muscle and that confidence. And I would go out and do this 30-minute show with sports highlights, and my ears would ring so loud. I would feel like I was going to pass out. I mean, just the most uncomfortable, awful feeling. And you ask yourself, why are you torturing yourself like this? But it paid off. And it's sometimes a good lesson in put yourself in situations where you are uncomfortable.
I think that's one of the best things that we can do with our kids is to put them in situations where they're uncomfortable and let them find ways to deal with that. Because then whatever life throws at them, they're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what would your daughter say if she was here, any of your kiddos, your two sons say is the coolest thing about having a dad who's a veterinarian? Because I'm sure so many kids are like, oh, I wish my dad was a veterinarian or my mom was. I mean, it's great.
When I get home, the first questions are usually, you know, Rylan, the five-year-old, has got this really high-pitched voice, and it's like, what'd you do today? You know, what animals did you tweet? And, you know, he just cracks me up. And that's the first question. What'd you see today? What'd you do? They want to hear all about it. Then they want to know if there's pictures. So they, you know, they've seen everything from the cute puppies that we're petting, and they've seen surgeries as well, and they're enthralled with it. So.
Oh, that's great exposure for them to see. I mean, talk about bring your kids a work day. They're going to get an eyeful with all of that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what are some of the things that really are helpful in your family life, being as that you're a veterinarian, and maybe some of the things that are a drawback? I know your hours are tough and you have to be on call at certain times.
Yeah, so the hours are pretty much the biggest drawback.
Mm-hmm.
it kind of prepares you. The good thing is that you're prepared for most things. If they're sick, if they're hurt, I
you
don't freak
do.
Out anymore, right? I've got some training, and you kind of you go about that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's you get to share your job with them. I mean, a lot of people have jobs that kids can't really relate to,
mm-hmm.
or maybe
that's
it's not
true.
Interesting at this point to them. And so I get to share that with them every day, and it's good fun.
Mm-hmm.
The drawbacks are mostly the hours.
You know, sure.
There's times where you miss practices, and there's times where you're working on the weekends and you're on call. But they understand. And in
mm-hmm.
fact, most of the times, if you're on call and you're getting called in late, they're wanting to go with you.
I bet.
So there's at least some excitement and understanding from their standpoint.
Right. That's cool. It does balance out that way. So a girlfriend of mine is, her son is 8 years old, and they are just now introducing a puppy into the family for the first time. Obviously, he's super excited, but I know this can sometimes cause angst for some families. It's exciting for families, but there's also that debate. When is the age, if you don't have pets already, at what age do you introduce, especially if it's the child going, I really want a dog, I really want a cat. When do you say, okay, let's do this?
Yeah, I think that question is, it's tough to answer. It's going to depend on each individual family, how the child is with pets, and then trying to pick the best pet for the situation. So if you bring in a big 150-pound mastiff and they've never been around dogs before, that can be intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if they're not used to handling pets and you haven't really gone through how to hold them and the gentle way you have to do it, a little tiny teacup chihuahua may not be the right option. I think that there's so many factors that lead to making that decision. You kind of have to look at them all on an individual basis. But for your friend whose boy is 8, I think your options are open, but
mm-hmm.
I think what you do is you prepare them for it by having them around other dogs first, or cats, or
mm-hmm.
whatever animal you're going to be bringing in, so that they're used to their presence. Then you need to really tell them, you know, what goes into training, what goes into their everyday care, and how to hold them, how to not get in their face, and kind of explain all of that stuff. So they're part of the process.
Sure.
Because as you bring in, if you bring in a puppy, you're going to be training.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to train when not everybody's doing
mm-hmm.
the same thing and on board with it. So I think it's all about education and kind of doing it together as a family.
What do you think, when you bring up training, it reminds me, some people are, they go out and they get this dog, and then the dog isn't the right fit for the family. Maybe it's too big, it's too headstrong. What do you have to do in advance to make sure it's the right dog for your family, whether it's breed or when you first hang out with a dog and see what the vibe is? What do you look for? And then what mistakes do you see people make from the get-go when it comes to training?
Yeah, I think that I think for me it would go into kind of research. So look for a pet, and there's some great resources like the AKC and the Humane Society. They have breed descriptions on there that kind of talk about what you normally see from each breed. It talks about shedding. It talks about their energy levels. And you want to try to find something that realistically fits your lifestyle. And if you're at work all day, getting a really hyper dog that needs to be outside playing all the time, I love them to death, but German Shorthair Pointers, for example, I'm going to use them as an example. You can go on a 6-mile run with them and you come home and they're still going to be jumping around playing. So if you're at work all day and you only have maybe an hour a day to really devote to them, that might not be the best fit. I think the other thing is that you need to kind of, if you haven't been around the breed, seek someone out who has one and spend some time around them and make sure that's something you want to do. Then if you're going to rescue a pet, which is always great, they'll let you come visit. You'll get to see how the pet interacts with you guys and see how their personality plays out. And you can spend some time and make a much more informed decision at that time.
Mm-hmm. So this also goes in the other direction, which is what I personally went through in my household, where I had pets to begin with. And then the baby came along, and there's 2 cats, so different than dogs, because I feel like the dogs need a lot more attention, but I still know I don't give the attention to my cats that I used to, and I think they're mad at me for it. So,
and cats will let
cats
you know.
Hold grudges.
Yeah, they absolutely do, and they'll let you know.
We're getting through it, because now she can interact with them, so it's getting better, but newborns, it's tough when you have dogs or cats that have been the love of your lives, and then here comes another bigger love of your life.
Yeah, when my daughter was born, when we got home, the first thing I did when I stepped through the doorway, my dog was sitting there waiting, and I knelt down, let him come over, and he smelled her and he licked her, and then he was protector of her from then on mm-hmm. out. And I'm very fortunate with that. And she's loved him since day one.
Right.
So I'm very fortunate that way. You know, if there is, I hate to give them human emotions, but man, do they not have them? It's mm-hmm. so if they're seeming like they're neglected or they're feeling not, set some time aside for them. Mm-hmm. Go on an extra walk. It's time. It's just showing them that you care.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing I would say with kids when you're bringing if a new baby comes into the house and you've already got a kid there, you know. I still remember this day. I was, you know, 2-3 years old when my brother was born. And I remember my dad taking time to walk me down to, I thought it was, you know, a great lake basically, but you go by now, it's a little retention pond.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go and listen to the crickets. And it was just time with my dad. Mm-hmm. So those things.
So you're the older sibling.
I'm family. The oldest. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do you have how many younger?
I've got two brothers and a sister. So,
okay.
Yeah. So one brother's 2 years younger than me. And then the other two are much younger. They are 11 and 13 years younger. So I was a little bit older when they came around and we got to actually help a lot mm-hmm. more and be involved that way. But, you know, when there's only 2 years apart, mm-hmm. there was just a little extra time that was spent so that I didn't feel neglected.
I remember my mom told me when she had to make the announcement to me, she took me out to lunch and was like, you know, you're going to be a big sister. You're going to have a little sister. And I was like, I'm not enough.
You
know? But now having a sister, I feel bad for people who especially don't have a sibling, but I mean, a sister bond is incredible. And you know, I have a stepbrother, two stepbrothers who are absolutely wonderful, but didn't meet them until I was in my 20s. But I know anybody who has siblings, whichever way it is, same sex or different sex, you're so thankful for it.
Absolutely. And you know, on the way over here, I talked to one of my brothers. I mean, we talk all the time and it's a great bond to have.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How do all of your kids get along?
So I'm the only one with kids so far.
Okay.
My brother's got one coming here soon, so we'll see. But it should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have cousins my age that have kids, and when they get together, it's just a blast. They mm-hmm. run around and they act like they've been siblings their whole life. They're going to laugh together. They're going to fight together. They're going to cry together, and then they're best friends again. It's great.
That's how it goes. Now, what about your kids when it comes to taking care of the pets now? I mean, they probably just watch you, so they know the very best way to do so. But do you ever have issues like, okay, you're not pulling your weight, you need to do more? Or what have you, any challenges in that area?
So I think, you know, now that two of them are getting 7 and 8,
mm-hmm.
We do give them more responsibilities. My daughter, she just had puppies. So at her mom's house, they just had some puppies, and she's had me on the phone and FaceTiming me and showing me how she's cleaning up after the puppies and feeding the mom and going through it. And I think that's great to give them responsibility. I was actually a proud dad watching how well she was doing it. She did a great job.
So she's been watching you, right?
Yeah, the boys will feed the dogs for us and they let them out to go to the bathroom and, they just, you know, getting them involved with it. They're all part of the family,
mm-hmm.
so helping
mm-hmm.
each other out.
So what are some of the, at Ehrlich Animal Hospital, what are some of the most interesting cases you've ever seen or your most memorable day on the job? And it actually doesn't have to be at Ehrlich Animal Hospital because I know you moved here not too long ago from Texas.
Yeah. So I actually grew up here and I grew up in the Tampa Bay area
mm-hmm.
And then went for vet school over to Texas and stayed for a while and just came back recently. But every day holds its own special challenges.
Mm-hmm.
The days that I like are the busy ones. I like seeing a lot of different things. If you're just doing vaccines all day, it's great to see the people and great to see the pets. But just giving kind of shots and doing the puppy talks can get a little
mm-hmm.
little bit monotonous. So, you know, I think some of my most exciting days have been when I've done emergency shifts.
Right.
And you don't know what's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a situation where a pet's been hit by a car or one that's eaten something they shouldn't have. And so
mm-hmm.
you're dealing with stabilizing one while having to do surgery on another to get something out of their stomach and you know, just keeps it interesting and fun.
Have you ever had situations where someone has, I know someone who's been in this situation. So an owl was on the side of the road mm-hmm. and had been hit by a car. And so the owl was brought in and was saved. So, I mean, it's not just, you know, you think of a poor dog or cat was hit by a car, but other animals in the wild, do they come in as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had at Ehrlich, we've had just in the past month, I can think of a couple turtles that people have picked up on the side of the road to bring in. just yesterday someone brought a seagull, and we were talking about my fear of birds, but we, you know, I dealt with that one. So,
right.
you know, those are all, you never know what's going to walk mm-hmm. through the door, which is part of the fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not scared of snakes, but I mean, I'm cautious of them.
Sure.
And so in Florida, I love talking about snakes. So in Florida, what do we have all different kinds, all the four types of poisonous snakes, don't we?
Yeah, we have quite a few poisonous snakes here for sure.
Okay. And so just refresh us on the rules, because I know it's the diamond shaped head that you have to be leery of. And then the markings on a coral snake.
Yeah, coral snake. So the old saying of
right.
red touch black is a friend of Jack, red mm-hmm. touch yellow. Kill a fellow.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best thing, and I'm going to be a little hypocritical here, because as a kid, we caught snakes all the time. We ran around and just had a blast.
Probably black racers and,
oh, yeah,
and
garter snakes, the rat
and
snakes,
right.
yeah. But where we lived, I mean, they were the little pygmy rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I look back sometimes, you know, grabbing a king snake and not knowing whether or
right.
not, you know, it was a coral snake or not, those weren't smart moves. So I think the best advice that I give kids, and I try to not make our kids scared of the snakes,
mm-hmm.
But just be cautious, like you said. I mean, don't go diving in. So if they see a snake, they're told to come tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I've caught some in front of them, you know, but then right. we've already talked about why it is what it is, and good job for coming
so
in.
So should, right. Should
yeah.
we pursue it? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that just teaching them to be cautious around it first is the best thing. So the diamond shape head, these are all kind of guidelines that you go by, but even sometimes someone like me who's been around snakes forever, in the wild, you got to take a couple takes.
Right.
You got to look pretty closely.
Exactly. So. I know. And we also have water moccasins around here. Those are really scary.
Because
get big even.
They can get big, and they tend to be aggressive too. I've had a couple actually come at me. Where most of the other snakes, they don't want you to mess with them.
Right.
The whole reason a rattlesnake has a rattle is they're trying
so
to say, hey, I'm here, go away,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't mess with me. But the water moccasins can get pretty nasty.
So oh, yeah.
Stay away from those.
And so I want to ask you, because I know a lot of parents have kids. Again, we talked about it earlier. Being a veterinarian is a dream job. So if you have... if you had friends that you were talking to and their child said they wanted to pursue that career path, mm-hmm. what does it take? What advice would you give them?
Yeah. So we actually, the nice thing is that we get to talk to a lot of students and a lot of kids that want to do that and kind of get to give them that advice. First off is just spend as much time around animals as you can. Make sure that's what you want to do. And most people, that's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is the schooling.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you stay up with your grades. Math is very important. Some people go, well, I love animals, but I don't like math. We use math all the time. And I try to stress those things to the kids too, because you're going to do high school, you're going to do undergraduate, and you're going to do 4 more years of veterinary school. And even after you graduate, we still have continuing education and we're constantly learning. Things are changing. Things that we did 15 years ago, we don't do now. And you have to continually learn and change the ways you do things and educate yourself. So
mm-hmm.
that's the next thing that I really stress is just education. And if you don't love learning, it's a tough job.
Right, because you are, especially at Ehrlich Animal Hospital, we were talking on another show about all of these crazy new technologies. And so you have to know the available treatments that you have, the available care, but also be there at the forefront of the research and know when to apply these new things like stem cell research.
Right. So 10, 15 years ago, if your pet had arthritis, you had either drastic surgery options
mm-hmm.
or just pain management, and that was about it. Well, then in comes certain joint supplements, glucosamine supplements, Adequan injections, things that we can do to help out with that. Well, fast forward to today, and we're able to do things like PRP or platelet-rich mm-hmm. plasma injections. We can do stem cell injections into joints. We have a rehab center where you can do the underwater treadmill, and we have a registered nurse now that does the rehabilitation work. So it's not just hopping in the treadmill. There's work on using the proper muscles, how to use them, proprioception techniques and things like that. So knowing where their feet are, the same kind of things that we do to help rehab situations can help a lot. Some of these dogs are hopping in the underwater treadmill just because they're that much overweight, where if you go on a long walk, it's mm-hmm. going to be a problem.
Oh, wow.
So you hop in there. You don't have the full body weight on these joints that are already hurting, and it's not as strenuous on their body, but they are getting exercise and they're losing weights. And you know, that leads into diet as well, where diets 10, 15 years ago weren't that big of a thing. We used them for allergies, and now we've got diets that help out with a lot of different issues. We are now looking at caloric intake to help lose weight. It's the same thing for us. They say abs are made in the kitchen. Well, you know, what you put in your body helps dictate your health.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny because Lavi is your patient, and his weight, I meant to tell you, he stayed at a good weight. So it works. And he used to be obese. So
he was loved.
That's how I like to put it. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Walker. This has been so much fun.
It was great fun. Thank you for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.